fish, fish, fishing. I've gone fishing, hook, sinker, and line.
Oh, yes.
Fishing guy. Yeah, that's where we're at. That, and it's all about fishing, hook, sinker, and line. Fishing Frank here in the chair, and Robert's not in the chair across from me. Really weird day. RJ's still at the production booth. He's over there making sure that I don't sound like a total idiot. No, wait a minute. He's just making sure I sound okay. I still sound like an idiot, so what the heck's the difference? Special guest today. We have my tarpon expert. Give you a little backstory. He's been at the store for how many years?
I've been working there about 6-7 years. Been there about 10.
Okay. The reason hadn't actually been working there the whole time, when he first came in, he was 11 years old. This is Austin. Captain Austin Phelps. This is Captain Austin. And real life charter boat guy. You work with building rods, you're charters, you're working at Fish and Frank's, I do it all. Pretty much everything. And you just had a birthday.
Yep.
20 years old, man.
Yep. Yes, sir.
All right. The one thing I got to tell you guys, Austin is the tarpon expert. He's actually better than me. And I've talked to people who've been doing tarpon for literally longer than Austin's been alive, and I've never met anybody that understands and fishes for tarpon as well as Austin does. He is literally my go-to source for if I really need to do something with a tarpon. Austin is the guy. He's that good.
I really better make this sound good, huh?
I don't think so.
Oh,
you don't have to sound good.
Pressure's on
I
now.
Know you are. You know, I'm here. I'm going to help.
As long as I got a voucher.
Yeah, you got a voucher. I'm on Team Austin there. All right. A lot of stuff going on around the harbor anyway. Captain Austin over there. RJ in the control booth. Fish and Frank here. We're on the big WKDW radio, 97.5 FM. We're out of Northport, Florida. Just can't beat it. Whether you're on the way out to Arcadia, I was on the way out there the other day. I was getting a nice clear signal. Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda. Let us know where you're listening from, will you? You can email me, Frank at Fish and Franks, or go to kdwradio.com and listen on the internet. People listen all around the world. Who would have thought that somebody in Uzbekistan likes to listen to the fishing report in South Florida? But they do. All right. Hi, Uzbekistan, and hello, Canada. A lot of people from Canada listening. Got a lot of, during the tent sale, a lot of people from Canada talking about the show. So thank you guys very much. Let's see. Spanish mackerel hitting in some weird places. I'm hearing them out a little bit out in the Gulf. You hearing about anything with Spanish mackerel?
There's a few of them around Marker 5 and Danger Reef in front of Cape Hayes Point in Turtle Bay area. They're catching a few spotty ones around Alligator Creek Reef, but it's definitely better around the passes, near shore, and just inside the pass.
Yeah, I had a couple of reports of some at the mouth of Alligator Creek, the reef. And I think why those reports get there, sometimes when the fish come in, they come in through Boca Grande Pass, they head straight across over to the east side, and then if they make a left going along that sandbar, Alligator Creek's right in that corner pocket. So anything following that sandbar up, people always think, well, you know, the fish go up and they go from here to here. Well, if they stick their head out of the water, they can see the water tower, maybe the condos here or there. But they're underwater. They're just, okay, it's got real shallow. Let me take a right or a left. They're not seeing, you know, structures on land and really know where they're at. They're just following
and
along.
And they only see so much structure on the bottom till they get close.
Exactly. So, you know, they go along, they hit that sandbar on the east side, they either go left or right. If they go left, they're going to end up by the mouth of Alligator Creek. And I think they kind of, all of a sudden, they find a sandbar to the right, sandbar in front of them, and they kind of mill around for a minute and then decide, okay, I guess we got to go that way. And they're either going to head to the reef or maybe continue along the bar out there. But that reef's right off, kind of on a 45 right out from there. So I think that's how come you see them at the reef and alligator, the mouth of Alligator Creek there.
Yeah, and the reef always has a bunch of small bait on it, and that's one of their favorite foods is just small glass minnows and stuff. So that's a good reason to have them stick around a little longer.
How do you like to catch them?
To be honest with you, I like using bait for them, to be honest, because I like the way they take it from you. I like using small bait. They eat shrimp, small pinfish, small greenbacks if you can catch them. Trolling spoons or throwing small lures works good. Topwater is just fun on Spanish mackerel, but it's a little expensive.
Yeah.
A little spendy on topwaters.
Well, that DOA with two of them in a pack for, what is it, $5-6? That's not too bad. You could use that DOA soft plastic. I wonder how many Spanish mackerel it'll take to rip up that DOA PT topwater.
I'm going with two if you're lucky.
Two if you're lucky?
I'm going with two if you're lucky.
All right.
Which is about what you get out of a spook.
Yeah, but you could literally take any old topwater out of your box that you're not throwing anymore. I think as long as it makes a noise, go through your tackle box and find old lures you don't care about anymore.
Yeah, it's a good time of year to get rid of them.
Yeah, let the Spanish mackerel haul them off for you. Getting around a few sheephead still out by Placida, hearing scattered reports up by Lemon Bay, a little up by Venice. You heard about any more?
I haven't heard nothing on them, but if you're land-based fishing, Placida Fishing Pier is out of the question. It burned down.
Has anybody heard why?
I have not heard why. There's a rumor going around that somebody threw a cigarette on the pier, but I'm not sure if that's what happened or not.
It's possible. I mean, it's just as Elgin being burned down once because somebody built a campfire on it because they were cold. And all it takes is one drop of water acting in the right thing with the sun act as a magnifying glass and start leaves on the fire.
Or a cup or something that they left out there. I mean, it's countless. Everybody leaves trash on the piers nowadays.
There's so many ways that things can catch fire. But cigarettes definitely a possibility. I don't know why, but I've been dropping mine lately. I've dropped it on the floor in my truck, between the seats, on my lap.
So the flaming white truck going down 41 is probably going to be you?
Yeah, the flaming truck, yes, that would be it.
Good thing I don't smoke, so that won't be a problem.
No, you're not allowed to smoke. I don't think anybody should. It's too expensive. All right. One of the things that... This is the Strike King Rage Claw Crawdad, and been catching mackerel with it, just swimming it through the water. Now, I can't, maybe it goes along with they're going to eat anything. I don't know.
I've never had too much Spanish mackerel won't hit unless it's not shiny. I don't do as good on dull-colored lures.
Yeah, they like bright stuff. I like the gotcha lure. I like the redhead with the silver body on it.
Yeah.
To me, that's one of the best ones.
They work great, but I try to stay away from the treble hooks if possible. You know, the spoons, I like the spoons. I take them over it. They catch about the same amount of fish, but you only end up with one treble hook versus two treble hooks.
And what about weedless spoons? You ever use those on the mackerel?
Yeah, I do use the weedless spoons and the Clark spoons.
So that's a single hook you could get away with?
Yep.
I think for bait, I like shrimp under a popping cork. I'll freeline white bait and stuff, but I don't really freeline the shrimp much for them. I like them under a popping bobber or something that makes some noise.
Yeah, you can give it a pop, and hopefully they don't eat the bobber.
Yeah, no, they do eat the bobber. I get chunks taken out of the bobber, but,
it still works.
That's okay. They go. You ever do Spanish mackerel, RJ?
I don't particularly care to catch Spanish mackerel.
You're not a Spanish mackerel guy,
huh? No, uh-uh.
We're going to have to try and get out before they leave. I've been dying to get my boat out. I don't think it's moved since November, but I've only had like 2 days off since November as well anyway. But we're going to have to get you out, and we'll fillet. If we catch some mackerel, we'll go to the back, fillet them up. We'll eat them that night. I'll cook them for you.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I don't like to fish for Spanish mackerel is I suck at it. So I
that's a good reason. There's fish I don't like because I can't
catch them. Yeah, because I just can't seem to catch them.
Sheephead's a good one.
Everybody else on the boat is getting them but me.
Now, one of the things that goes on is, speaking of fish you can't catch, I heard you couldn't catch a bass the other day.
I caught him.
Now, your buddy was saying there's no way you could catch this fish. What happened?
I was just walking along, and there was a bass there. He was probably about 5 or 6 pounds what he looked like, and I wasn't even going to bother catching him until my friend said, "You can't catch a bass."
Now, where were you, out by Rotunda?
Yeah, out there in the little lakes out there.
All right, so you're kind of walking along the shore. Could you actually saw the bass in the water?
Yeah, I'll stop here and tell you something else first. I wasn't in the freshwater looking for bass. I was in the freshwater looking for tarpon. Found the tarpon, and I was overlooking the bass. The tarpon were more intriguing to me than the bass was.
Okay, but so you're there, and you see a bass in the water. How did it go about that you caught them? What were you using, and B, how did it work? Because usually when I see a fish, they're very hard to catch.
You would think, wouldn't you? I did too. I was walking. I had a little DOA paddle tail on, one of my favorite little tarpon lures. We'll talk about those more later. But my friend said, "You can't catch a bass. You don't bass fish." So I said, "Hold on a second." Turned around. He was there, and I kind of messed around, threw it in front of him a few times. Bounce it off his head.
Now, when you tossed it in front of him, did he turn to go away, or?
He kind of moseyed away and circled around and came back, and he didn't seem
did
like
you actually hit him with the jig?
I did. I was ready to snag him. I was getting annoyed.
So he was hanging out to the point you actually were able to cast and hit him in the face with a jig.
Yeah,
physically hit him.
Reel it into him. He was only about 2 feet off the shore, but I dropped it down. I just let it sit.
Is there bass alcohol? What, you know? I mean, I didn't think freshwater fish had, you know, drug or alcohol problems.
He fought just fine, and his eyes were straight.
Okay.
He was okay. He swam straight back. I mean, he didn't swim side to side, so I figured he was okay.
But you said you did something specific that got him to hit. What was that?
Absolutely nothing. I threw down, and I let my paddle tail sit right in front of him for a good 15 seconds or so, and I know 15 seconds doesn't seem like long, but
you threw it and let it lay on the bottom. You didn't move it. You
didn't
just
move it.
Cast and
yeah.
Brought it in front of him where he could see it and let it fall to the bottom and lay there.
Yeah. And now, guys, when I tell you it took me 5 minutes to catch this fish, it was a solid 5 minutes to catch this fish. I mean, five minutes or so don't seem like long, but when you're sitting there trying to catch a fish, 5 minutes is forever. And I let it sit in front of him. I felt him eat it, and I set the hook, and he was on there.
Now, you didn't see him go down after it.
I seen him right there at it, but I didn't see him suck it in. I was probably about a foot of water, but it was murky. But I could see the fish. I knew right where he was. And he just gradually, slowly picked it off the bottom, almost like he was just going to move it, like he didn't even want to eat it.
So the basic thing was, did you see a nest there by any chance?
No bed. I looked. There was no bed.
No beds. He was just... didn't want to leave that spot.
There was a pair of them that swam up, but one of them wanted nothing to do, and he left and never came back right away, and that one just stuck around. And
so,
he was about a 6-pound bass. I just showing you the picture.
It was pretty awesome. What amazes to me is you put a paddle tail on, you throw past him, you drag it right in front of him. He follow it or not follow it?
No, he had no interest. Almost like it wasn't there.
So then you throw it and you run it into the fish. You literally hit the fish with it.
Yeah, I was almost just dropping it off my rod tip at that point.
So the way you finally ended up getting him to being able to catch him was to just let it go onto the bottom and let it sit there, and you didn't move it.
Yeah, I took low and slow to the next level. Moving and
That's as low and as slow as you can get right there.
That's always my rule of thumb, so I followed it and just did a little more than I normally do.
What brought that into your head to literally just let it lay on the bottom there?
It was the only thing I hadn't tried.
I'm not sure that would have occurred to me. To, you know, when he's swimming by it and not hitting it and not doing anything to it, you bump him with it. I mean, that's pretty intuitive just to let it lay down on the bottom and just...
Well, I mean, I knew it was a scented paddle tail off the get-go, so I was hoping that had something to do with it, but I mean, I was just kind of hoping for the best at that point. I wasn't about to leave that fish after someone told me I couldn't catch it.
Now, RJ, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't know if I would have thought of that. Is that something you would have pulled out of your bag of tricks? Okay, I'm just going to pull it from him, let it fall down.
I would have seen if I could have gotten him with the gaff. That would be my go-to final.
You could have jumped on him.
That would have been my final fallback position, is can I reach him with the gaff?
Yeah, not the let the lure stop dead. No. Let me hit the sucker. Okay. Yeah, I get it. All right. Going around... So we're going to get back to that because we're going to do, we got a whole bunch of stuff coming up about tarpon. I want to do one more fish out there that's possible catch right now. You heard much about cobia?
I've heard a lot about cobia in the past, like, 3 days, or about 4 days or so, and then yesterday.
Be more specific. Was it 3 or 4, Austin?
It was 5. No. About 4 days or so. Okay. Because yesterday it seemed like I know a few people that went out looking for them, and it was a real nice day out yesterday and had no luck. So I don't know if they moved or moved into deeper water or moved into somewhere else, but they
it's
were doing
sometimes
real good
just
for a couple
a matter
days
of luck. One guy goes out, and he's sitting on the reef. He goes to Alligator Creek Reef. He caught 14 the other day on the Alligator Creek Reef. Now, I have gone there 4 times for tarpon while these guys are supposedly catching all these fish, and sat there for hour, 2, 3 hours, and not so much as seen a cobia.
I have, too. I fished Alligator Creek Reef about 8 days, 10 days ago or so, and it was like bumper boats out there. You could hardly even get a spot that you that was even close to the reef. There was every bit of 20, 25 boats.
Well, a couple of times I was there, there was probably maybe 4 other boats there. But still, I think a lot of cobia fishing is a matter of luck.
It is.
Do you and them show up at the same time?
I bump into them with everyone I've caught. I mean, it's just like, hey, look, a cobia.
And right.
There it is. When I go out fishing for them, I never have the luck I do than just bumping into them.
Yeah, I have always counted cobia as a bycatch. Now, when I was doing charters, during this time of year, I would tell them, listen, we're going to take 15 minutes. We're going to just idle up the sandbar and just watch for a patch of grass moving.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? I said, trust me, look for a patch of grass that looks like it's moving. That'll be a cobia.
Yeah, hopefully a big patch of grass, too.
Yeah, a nice, you know, 60, 80-pounder.
Yeah.
But I would spend a few minutes on the, you know, pretty much most of the trips, because when we did find one, it was awesome. You know, they hook up and bang. Big gold spoons. I like the silver minnow-style spoons, even a big Sprite. What's your favorite, Cody?
A 12-inch purple or black bass worm.
That would do it. Do you just do a jig head, or?
I like to run them on a jig head because if they're on the bottom, it falls kind of quick, so you can get it in front of them right away. If you fish it on a weedless hook, they'll eat it, but sometimes it's hard to get it in front of them if they're moving. You know, I fish it on like a quarter ounce jig head or so, and a curly tail works a little better than a straight tail, but looks just like an eel. An eel is their favorite food.
Yeah, I gave the Richie, who's been catching all those cobia out there, one of the Strike King crawdads to try. He says they follow it up. They're not hitting it, but they'll stay right behind it, follow it all the way up to the boat, but they won't hit it. And, you know, you never know. I'm going to try my little squid lure with an otter tail on it when I get out there. I'm really thinking that might be the thing to do. What do you think, my little squid lure, and then put the otter tail off the back treble hook? I think in the next month or 2 months, get a lot of baby squid in the Gulf and a lot of baby squid showing up in the harbor. I think that's going to be a very effective lure for some of this fish right now, because once those little squid, and they should show up anytime, so they're going to be on the lookout for them. So if you're a little early, a little late, it's not going to matter. But just swimming through the water and use that smaller mid-size otter tail on it. It's a trailer, I guess you would call it.
That'd be a good word for it, yeah.
And kind of like the old Uncle Josh stuff, but made for saltwater. It's not like the old Uncle Josh pork rinds, but made for saltwater.
Another thing that Kobe have always liked is, you know, like a worm or something on the back of a bucktail. It's almost the same concept, so I'm sure it would work.
Yeah, because that's one of the guys right now, and he says anything will work as long as it's a chartreuse bucktail jig with a nuclear chicken trailer on it, a Gulf nuclear chicken.
As long as it's that, it's going to work?
As long as it, he says anything will work as long as it's a chartreuse bucktail jig with a nuclear chicken Gulf trailer on it. And
oh,
he's
man,
using
that's everything.
That, you know, mullet looking one with the curly tail
yeah,
on it.
A little, yeah,
and the nuclear chicken, the green, orange, green thing. But he says anything will work as long as it's that.
Oh, okay.
So,
cool.
All right.
One thing I don't have.
Yeah, I know. I was looking at going, I don't have a chartreuse bucktail anymore.
That's probably the last color bucktail I'd have, too.
Yeah, I never thought about chartreuse bucktail. I wonder where these guys come up with this color? Do they just sit there for hours throwing one color and then throw another color and see which one works?
I don't know. I don't have the patience for that sometimes.
Yeah, I don't either. All right. Basically, I brought Austin here today to talk about tarpon fishing. And just wanted to give you guys kind of an overview. Depending on who you're talking to, fishing is pretty darn good, or it's kind of mediocre. But this is when we start getting prepped up for tarpon. There are some down around Ponarasis, Sanibel. We're hearing scattered reports. A few weeks ago, before the last cold front, we had them in Boca Raton Pass real good. This is going to happen again any day. They're only 1 or 2 days swim from here. So any minute, any hour, the tarpon could show up. Let's start off with year-round tarpon. And you are the king. There is nobody as good as you, Austin, at these canal tarpon, the landlocked tarpon, all the rest of this stuff. Now, tell us about the day you caught the bass. What were you actually doing out there and what were you going for?
I was hunting for tarpon, but we ended up with bass, snook, redfish.
Really?
Yeah.
Snook and redfish and bass?
And tarpon, yeah.
And tarpon.
Yep.
So you did catch tarpon?
Yes.
All right. How are you going about this? What were you using? What are you looking for? Let's start off with, what kind of place do you want to look for to find these fish? Is it hard seawalls, natural shoreline, canals, gulf, harbor? Where are you going?
In general purpose for the year-round tarpon, canals are always a good bet because there's always a good food source in the canals. There's always deep water in most of your canals. I like the end of canals, a dead end, but I don't like a dead end that just goes straight in. I like a big basin in the end, like a big bowl at the end.
Kind of like some of the canals that have, like, room for a boat to turn around in.
Yeah, turnaround basin.
If it just goes up and it's the same width, it's probably not as likely to have a tarpon. But if the canal gets bigger at the end, like a spoon would be shaped, where you got the long handle and the round end on.
Exactly.
So
exactly. Most of those canals, too, especially if they call them a turnaround basin, they're between, a lot of times, 15 to 25 foot deep. And you'll have big tarpon set on the bottom and smaller ones that will come up to the surface.
All right. I wonder why that would make a difference. Just more room or?
I've always heard that they always just have some of those canals a lot deeper for the sailboats and stuff so they can go in there. But I'm not sure why they're deeper, but every one I've ever been in seems to be deeper.
So you're looking for a little wider area at the end of a canal and deeper water than the surrounding ones.
Yeah.
So
my second favorite is where three canals meet and you have a big open section in the middle where you got like a highway intersection. And those are a lot of times deeper too. You know, you got three or four points on seawalls there and they'll congregate in the middle.
So. Oh, that's interesting. Now, so the canals now... You were out by Rotunda, and those are freshwater canals.
A lot of them landlocked, too.
I mean, there might be a few fish go back and forth every once in a while, but I would say predominantly they're self-contained systems, this freshwater canal.
Mm-hmm. Those fish, I always have a hard time with them in Rotunda. I'll find them one day and not be able to find them for the next week. They'll be miles away, and then you'll find them again, catch them, and then you'll have another hard time finding them again. We just happened to have a good day. I went 1 for, I think, 4 for 4 that day.
Now, what's 1 for 4?
Yeah, I hooked 4 fish, and I only landed 1. 3 jumped off.
It's not a bad day. You hooked 4 tarpon, 3 jumped off, you landed 1. Are you using live bait for this, or dead bait, or artificial?
Live bait can sometimes make it a little easier for you, but I like to use artificial. If you're fishing them in freshwater ponds, you can use like a freshwater shiner. They'll stay alive. If you're fishing them in a saltwater canal, you could use a shrimp, like a 3-4 inch shrimp, a live shrimp. Other than that, it's hard to find bait that they'll eat unless you go out and catch it yourself. Not too much bait you can buy to go use. But my favorite by far is artificials and a variety of different ones that we'll go over.
All right. Now, well, let's start with the freshwater canals like Rotunda or like some down off Burnstour Road,
Venice.
Places like that, Venice. What makes a freshwater canal, it has to be actually very, very close to saltwater.
has to be close to salt water, and there has to, a lot of times, has to be something there. There has to be a drainage pipes and all that that connect one to the next, and so on and so forth.
So somewhere for the fish to, when the tide comes way up, say a storm, they can actually swim up and get into those freshwater areas.
Yeah, and there has to be bait in there and not just a bunch of clumpy grass. You know, there has to be a decent living environment for them, and then you'll start to see, find them in there.
All right, so where you were over by Placida Rotunda, what made you stop at that canal? What did you see that made it interesting?
It was really, really wide, really long canal, and you could see there's drainage pipes that connect one to the next going underneath the road, and I looked around, I followed them on the map, and they go, it went all the way down, and it made it to the harbor, but it was miles and miles of canal, so.
All right, so you were fishing on the upside of that, or on the downside of the pipe, or both?
Well, the pipe, the water, the pipe was halfway submerged.
Okay.
So, the water could just run through it. There was water running through it.
All right. So, how did you decide to use lures? What did you pick and why?
I like the DOA Paddle Tails, DOA Terrorize. They're kind of been Old Faithful for me. I've always had really good success on soft plastic baits that I can rig on a jig head. One of the biggest reasons I like using soft plastics is because you can rig them on a jig head. It's a single hook. They don't throw the single hook as easily, and you don't have 9 hooks there or 6 hooks there when you do grab the fish. So it's a little easier for landing purposes, and you do keep more buttoned up.
So what size jig head are you using for, say, the DOA Cal Shads?
An 1/8 ounce or a 16th ounce. An 1/8 ounce if I need a little further cast, because a 16th ounce is light. But sometimes the 16th ounce is nice if you're in shallower water, an 1/8 ounce if you're a little deeper.
All right. Why wouldn't you use a quarter or a 3/8?
Because when you see them roll, if they're up by the surface rolling and you throw a quarter on, sometimes it gets past them too quick.
So it's too heavy. It falls too fast once it hits the water.
Yeah, they don't want to chase it. And with a 16th or an 1/8 ounce jig head, you can make your cast a little bit of a longer retrieve. You can reel it slower, work it slower in a higher water column.
All right, that makes sense. So any particular color you chose?
I'm not too picky with color, but I do like to have a glitter in them. A gold glitter, red glitter, New Penny's one of my favorites, and the gold-red glitter is another one of my favorites, but Root Beer is a really good one that has a glitter in it, and there's a few of them I can't think of off the top of my head, but as long as they sparkle.
So in these canals, are you preferring the darker color, like the gold with the red glitter, or how's white in some of these canals?
I never do good on white.
Do good on white.
Ever. Right. No glitter on it is what it seems like, but darker water canals, I like darker colors. Lighter water canals, I like lighter, like a blue and silver sparkle, or a light green and sparkle pattern in the clear canals.
So, okay, you go up to this canal, and are you seeing tarpon, or are you just casting?
I really like to see them, but sometimes they won't show themselves, so if I get a canal that I think looks pretty good, and by looking good, it looks like it's deep, it looks like there's a lot of boat lifts, a lot of bait around. The bait is a really big thing for me. If there's bait there, there's going to be fish there. If there's a food source, there's going to be fish there, whether it's tarpon or snook or whatnot, there's going to be fish there. So I'll fish it pretty hard if I see a lot of bait. If I don't see bait or don't see any activity, I'll still try it, but I don't give it a whole long time. But when I do go in there, I like to fish all the way through the water column. I'll fish high, fish the middle, and fish the bottom if I'm not seeing anything, and see if there are fish in part of the water column.
All right. Now, I do that by when I'm taking the rod and I go to cast. I cast it out, and sometimes I actually start reeling right before the lure hits the water, keeping my rod tip high. I'll reel it back in so it stays very close to the surface. Now, I'll make a few casts like that, say 3 to 5, and then when I cast, I'll see it hit the surface, and then I'll count to like 2, and then start reeling it in about the same speed, and do that 4 or 5 times, and then the next time I'll throw it out, let it go down, and say I'll count to like 5 or 6, or just let it go till I think it hit the bottom.
I let it go to the bottom, right to the bottom.
All right. And now, are you doing a steady retrieve or a jigging motion?
First, my first retrieve is a slow, steady reel. But then I will like to sometimes bounce it a little bit. And by bounce it, I don't mean actually bounce it. I hold my rod at 10 o'clock, and I raise it up to 12 o'clock, and I reel up my slack. Pull it up again to 12 o'clock, raise it back down to 10 o'clock, and reel up my slack. You're not really jigging it, but you're kind of raising your rod tip up and down.
So you want it to swim up and swim down, not dart up and drop down.
Yeah, I raise my rod tip up, and as I bring it back down, I make sure I follow my line down and watch my line. A lot of times your fish will hit it on the fall. You'll actually see your line bounce, and then you can set the hook on them. That's your most crucial part if you ever want to land them, is the hook set. So,
all right. Now, here's the part where you guys wake up, pay attention. You're going to want to know this. Because Austin actually, Captain Austin, I'm sorry, Austin. I've been literally talking to this guy since he was 10, 11 years old. So it's hard for me to do the whole captain thing, you know. And Austin's very generous about it. When you're out there, and let's say you walk up and you see the tarpon. You're in a canal, like say you're in Punta Gorda Isles, in Venice, Northport, Rotunda, whatever. And you see tarpon out there, or you see a fish that looks like tarpon, how would you first tell if they are tarpon you're seeing, and then what is it telling you when you see them?
With me, I like to walk up, and most people, their first instinct is just grab a fishing rod and get it in the mix of them. Me, I'll stand on the seawall for a minute. If they're there, they're there for a reason, and they're not going to just leave. So I'll sit there, and I'll watch them for a few minutes, and make sure they're tarpon. When you see them roll, you'll see them come out of the water. If you know what a tarpon looks like, you'll see that it's a tarpon.
Now, I look for that. They got a kind of particular dorsal fin and kind of the tail and kind of how it combines together. Seeing that dorsal fin come up, and a lot of times I can see that little extra tag or that
thread
that comes off the top of that dorsal fin, and then I know for sure it actually is a tarpon.
Yeah.
Because if a fish is jumping all the way out of the water and falling back down, that's a mullet.
Yeah.
Tarpon are not going to jump all the way out of the water and come back down. They're just kind of breaking the surface, so to speak.
And there's a good chance if you see one, you'll see more. Very rarely do you go and just see one or two. Normally you'll go there and you'll find a good amount of tarpon. But like I said, I like to go up there and, you know, I'll hold my fishing rod, but just watch the tarpon. There's a few different ways you'll see the tarpon roll. And for me, I call it the happy roll.
That's awesome.
Really mad rolling.
It's literally, I got to tell you, Austin, one of the things that impressed me more than anybody I've ever talked to about tarpon is your ability to interpret the happy roll, the mad roll, all these things. And the names that you don't think, literally, I think it's awesome, Austin, so don't be embarrassed by it. I'm literally invited you here because of your names and what you do. It's, to me, truly the most amazing thing I've ever talked to about anybody with tarpon. So let's go over how they do the happy roll, and what are the other names you call them?
I haven't really named the others yet, but I know mad and happy.
Okay, you got mad and happy, but, I mean, that's literally why I asked you here, because I think the names are awesome, I think, and literally being able to study it to the point you have, it's astounding. So don't be embarrassed. Just go right through it the way you always tell me.
I got
okay?
no shame. You know, you'll see tarpon roll a few different ways, and depending on how deep a water you're in, but anything over about 6 or 8 feet, you'll see them actually come up, and they're going to roll real slow and gradually. They kind of come up and just show their side and go back in the water real slow. That's my favorite way to fish them. You know, they're not really irritated at all. They got nothing to do. And another thing I look for is to see if they're rolling all one direction or if they're rolling left and right. When you have them rolling one way, one another way, and then one another way, they're kind of happy. They're just, moseying around in that area. If you see them all rolling one direction, they're kind of on a mission. You know, if you see 10 fish and they're all going one way, getting further from you, they're going somewhere, and a lot of times they won't eat that way. But when you see them, when they're just going real slow like that, they're happy fish. They don't look like they're going back down to the bottom. They're just kind of going a little bit under the water. So I'll take and I'll throw in front of them, you know, time my cast for as far as I think he made it, between 2 and 5, 10 feet in front of him or so. Flip my bail over and start working it like right when it hits the water, maybe give it a second or two to fall just a little bit and retrieve it.
Okay, now, so kind of critical. You walk up and you see these fish out there. You're looking for the dorsal fin, and tarpon have a peculiar, and it's kind of a rolling motion as they come to the surface, and then they kind of just curve and go back into the water. And when they're happy, you're not just going to see the dorsal fin. You probably see some of the side of the fish.
A lot of times the side of the fish, and sometimes even the tail. But if you see the tail end of them, a lot of times they may be going a little deeper down.
All right. Now, so just I'm trying to keep this clear in my head. So if you see them and they're all roll going and they come out of the water and they go into the water, but they're all going in the same direction, they're actually on the move.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be there long.
Yeah, they're not going to be there long. No. And sometimes you can still pick them off and catch them. Sometimes they'll be moving and they'll eat everything in their sight, or sometimes they're on a mission and have other things on their mind.
But this is kind of like duck hunting or skeet shooting. You're not actually casting at the fish that you see. You're casting where you think it's going to be by the time the lure gets there.
Exactly.
So if you're out there and you see a fish roll and you throw on that fish when he's doing the happy roll or the traveling roll,
yeah.
You're probably not going to catch that fish because he's already 4 to 6 feet away from where the lure hit.
Yeah, I'd rather be 10 feet in front of him than a foot behind him. You know, you want to try to put it right in front of his face, but I'd rather be a little further in front of him than behind him. Behind him ain't going to do you no good.
All right, so you look out there and you see him doing their happy roll, and one's going to the left, one's going to the right, one's going away from you, one's going towards you. How far would you lead one of those fish? Now, with this, you're going to probably be putting that 16th ounce on, I'm guessing.
Yeah, the 16th is a good one. And the reason I like a lighter jig head also, I forgot to tell you, is the lighter you can get away with fishing, the less they're going to throw it on you. There's less weight for them to shake the hook.
Gotcha. So, all right, you cast it out. Now, when they're all going the same direction, I'm assuming you cast farther in front of them.
Cast a little further in front of them. You'll see them actually roll a little bit faster.
All right, but when they're doing their happy roll and they're just kind of milling around, you're only casting, what, 3 to 5 feet in front of them?
Yeah, if you got to the fish a little later, maybe 10 feet in front of them. If you got to them, like, if it took you a minute to get your cast out there, but...
You should be standing there with your...
Ready to go.
Bail open, your finger holding the line.
No friends behind you.
Yeah, no friends behind you. And give a cast out on it. All right. So we've got the traveling roll, we got the happy roll. Now, you're out there, and all of a sudden you see more of the tail. Now, at that point, should you switch jig heads and, like, go from the 16th to the 8th ounce?
Yeah, I'll see them actually come up, and they'll kind of come up like they're about to jump like a mullet and shoot straight back down. They'll have their tail come out of the water, and you'll actually see the fish go down. If you're paying attention, it's not too hard to see.
I like it if you're paying attention. I've been doing this for 40 years, and I never figured this out. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Okay. That's okay, Austin.
Very important part. You got to watch.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, if you're paying attention, Frank. No, I didn't. For 40 years, I did not pay attention. All right. So you got the thing coming up. The tail flips out. And now he's going down. What do you do at this point?
I like to cast it just a couple feet in front of him, almost like right where he rolled. And I'll have my 1/8 ounce jig head on there, something with a little more weight. And I'll let it fall almost to the bottom, even if to the bottom. If you're real deep, you know, you can let it stop a little bit before. But I cast it out. I let it hit the water. I flip my bail over and I put my finger on the line and I let it fall. You know, 8 or 9 times out of 10, if they're going to eat it, they eat it on the fall. So I'm sitting there, I got my rod ready, I let it hit the water, and I'm ready to go for a hook set. You wouldn't believe how many tarpon I hook on the fall when they roll like that. I almost let it fall, work it in a little bit, then just reel it in.
So with the happy roll, where you're not really seeing the tail, you're more or less seeing just the back and the belly, and the fish are going in different directions. The traveling roll, where they're all going the same direction, which means you got to lead them farther. But when they do a sharper kind of curve to the roll, more U-shaped, less,
yeah.
I don't know, less wave look, and the tail comes up, you're letting it fall all the way down to the bottom before you start bringing up, hitting them in.
Yep.
Now, is there another type of roll?
Yeah, the roll that I don't really like to fish them with, and a lot of times they'll actually start doing it if you're there for a while. and you're fishing them, then they'll kind of get angry. You'll actually see them come up, roll, and slap their tail. It looks like an explosion in the water. And not all of them will do it, but you'll see them start to get agitated. You can be fishing them for 20 minutes or an hour or so, and you'll stop catching them, and a lot of times you'll see them do that with their tail. After that, I mean, it's almost a losing battle. I don't give it much time after that.
That's the slap you roll. I'm done with you.
They're waving their tail at you to get out of there.
Yeah, they're giving you the fin.
They're done.
Yeah, you had
like
the
that.
Tail fin.
Giving you the fin.
So when you come up, it's that hard slap to the tail as they're on the roll. That means you've just upset them and you're pretty much done for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always give it a little bit more time if they're there because you're there and they're there, but at that point, I don't feel very confident in catching them.
All right. Now, you fished that Storm Wild Eye Shad, the little one?
I fished that sometimes, yeah.
All right. Now, how is that for as far as a pre-made for people?
They're pretty good. You're talking about the real small one, right?
Yeah,
that
little
tiny
one.
The 2.5-inch or 2.25-inch. Yeah, that one works good. When I'm sitting there fishing, I'll actually look around, and like I said, my favorite thing is to look at my surroundings.
This is a 2-inch eighth ounce.
2-inch eighth ounce?
Yeah.
I like to look at my surroundings before I even fish. Your surroundings will tell you a lot about where you're at a lot of times. If you see a bunch of really small bait there, that's a great lure to throw. I do good on it when I see a lot of small bait. If I see a lot of mullet or smaller mullet or bigger, just bigger bait in general, I'll throw something a little bit bigger. Those small storm wild eyes, though, you're pretty hard-pressed to get a fish to look away from it because it's like an M&M. You know what I mean? You may not go out and buy a bag of them, but if you walk past a tray of them, you're probably going to have one. So if that swims by them, good chance they're going to eat it.
All right. Now, how about the tiny terror eyes from DOA?
The tiny terror eyes, I like them, but they're hard to cast.
Gotcha.
They're hard to cast if the fish are a little further from you. They work really, really well on snook lights and night fishing, along with the storm wild eyes. Snook lights, you got to have a really, really small bait for because that's all that's ever on them. I actually use those a lot on the green underwater snook lights for tarpon and snook.
All right. What about the regular terror eyes? Is that one you can use in the canal tarpon?
One of my favorites.
All right. So the DOA cal shads with a 16th or an 8th ounce head, and then the regular size terror eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the regular terror eyes, this is a 1/4 ounce. I guess you want me to buy the 1/8 ounce.
The 1/4 ounce works okay. I work the terror eyes a little different than I do the paddle tails. The terror eyes, if you guys have fished them before, you take your rod tip and you want to pop it real hard, and you'll see it jolt left or jolt right. Well, what I do is I zigzag it. I do 2 pops of the rod, 2 fast back-to-back. It jolts left and jolts right. Popping it so much like that kind of keeps it higher in the water column so you can use the 1/4 ounce.
Okay. Yeah. I told you, the kid's good, didn't I? RJ's looking
I'm just sitting here amazed.
I'm like, you know, I walked in, and Captain Austin, he's 20 years old, and he literally looks like he's in his teens. And
thanks.
That's a good compliment. Just wait till you're my age, and everybody thinks, you know, the closest thing I look like, I should be stepping out of a coffin. All right, so better stepping out of your teens than stepping out of a coffin. But that DOA terrorize, that's... And then the tiny terror eyes, the regular terror eyes, the storm. Here's one that I pulled off the shelf just to get your opinion of it. This is a suspending bait by Sabeel. Would that be any good?
They work good. I do like some twitch baits for them, but I've tried really hard. Oh, that does have single hooks on it, doesn't it?
I think it's got doubles.
Oh, no. Okay. I see it now.
I think it's a double hook. Okay. One treble. No, that's 2 trebles, isn't it? No, it's a double and a... It's a
double
hook.
Yep, okay. It's a...
A treble and a double.
Yeah, a treble hook and a double hook. I've never used the Sabeel one myself. I've used the Mirror Lure 14MR, which is about the same size as this one, and I had good luck on it. You got to leave the treble on the front if you want it to work right, but you can put a single hook on the back of it.
Yeah.
And I've ran those before and caught them. I stuck a hook in my hand grabbing a fish, and it was still attached to the fish, and I don't like treble hooks after that.
Okay.
I try real hard to stay away from them. When they have one single hook, I mean, I go right in and grab them. I have no problem with that. You know the hook's somewhere in the meat. So.
Now, a sleeper hit last year for the tarpon, big tarpon. We're going to switch gears on you just a minute. Anything else you want to add about those smaller tarpon?
When they jump, point the rod at them and hope for the best. You know, okay. They're hard to keep buttoned up sometimes, so you want to bow to them.
All right. Bowing to them means taking a rod tip away from the fighting position, which is somewhere between 10 and 12 o'clock, pointing up as an analog clock would, and bring your rod down to a 9 o'clock position.
And stretching.
And what?
And stretching.
And stretching your arm out?
And stretching. Whenever they break you off, if they ever break me off, they always, I'll have my rod pointed at them, and they'll jump, and the line will catch really tight, and it'll pop real quick, you know, because they're pretty abrupt head shakes. If you got tension on the line, sometimes you'll break them off.
Okay, so that's what, when you hear people say bow to the king, and because they call tarpon the silver king, and they're called the silver king because it's a money fish for all the captains out there. You know, it's that fish is made out of money. So when you put your rod tip forward, you're just trying to create slack in the line.
Yeah, you don't want to have no tension at all. And something I do when I'm fishing on land for him, when I hook the fish, I take a couple steps backwards. So when he jumps, I can walk forward a little bit. When you're already on the seawall, you can't really walk forward.
So as soon as you hook up with a tarpon and you start fighting in the beginning of the fight, you take at least one or two steps backwards so that when they jump up, you can take a quick step or two forward while extending your rod to get a little more slack.
And believe it or not, it'll get your landing ratio up on them almost double if you can get all the slack out of the line when they jump. You don't wear a big hole in their lip out by pulling tension when they jump, so the hook stays in there.
Yeah.
I was telling you earlier.
I'm sitting here, and RJ and I are looking at each other, and we're about the same age. When Austin was 11, I mean, he did yard work and stuff. He's always had his own money. I mean, the kid's always made his own money, as long as I've known him. And I know for sure I knew him at 11, but I think I knew him for a year or two before that. But he's always made his own money. Kid is amazing on detail. I had no idea you this detailed, Austin. You're surprising me, buddy.
You know, earlier I said I went 1 for 4 on tarpon. I hooked one and I hooked 4 and landed 1, and that, you seemed like it was good. My landing ratio on them is normally about, 50-50. I normally land 1 out of 2 for the most part. A lot of people land about 1 out of 3 or 4, but
really hard not to look at them and go, screw you, kid.
Yeah, I'm still looking for my first landing. I hook them up, but...
Oh, man.
But I just picked up a real good piece of information. Step back a couple of steps.
That's what I'm saying.
And as soon as that fish comes out of the water, take 2 steps forward, and you got it, man.
Walking off the seawall once or twice learned my lesson. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. The big tarpon are just starting to show up, and maybe soon. I got to ask this again. Anything else you've got about these little tarpon?
No. Take Advil.
Advil. I'll give you a headache.
Yeah, it'll give you a headache.
All right. Yeah, it was funny because I was one of the first ones to go through the canals, learning to catch them in the canals, doing all that stuff. And Austin's taken everything that I told him about this, as you guys have heard, to just the most amazing level of detail shift. So, Captain Austin, he's not big on doing charters yet, so don't be expecting to call and get him to take you out on fishing trips yet. He is, in my opinion, one of the smartest young men. He says, I'd rather fish for fun for a while. He says, we'll see about charters later. He does every once in a while take somebody out on a trip, but it's not very often. He's got a good life and he likes it, so why screw it up? All right, last year, one of the sleeper hits for big tarpon was the Rapala subsurface walk the dog. Now, the big one, this one.
Yeah, the big one.
Yeah, this big one. And it's an XRS. X-ray Ralph Sam Boy -15. X-ray Ralph Sam Boy 15. I obviously wasn't in the military, and I haven't spent any time on a spaceship, so I don't know what these letters are supposed to mean. Alright, but these subwalks were amazing. Now, they've got the new subwalks with the single hooks on them. With the original subwalk, taking the back treble off, Putting a single hook on, very good idea. Use the big BMC, but I flatten the barbs off the front treble hook. But if I take the front treble hook off, it doesn't walk the dog as good. So I'm leaving that front treble hook on and crushing the barbs off it, because you can get stuck real easy with that. It's nice when the hook comes right back out.
Being stuck to one over 100 pounds, dude, I could just imagine how fun that would be.
Yeah, so there is a subsurface walk the dog bait from Rapala this year that is rigged with both single hooks. I ended up bringing the one with the lip on it. These, you work them like you would a Zeraspook topwater. So you're rubbing your belly, patting your head. In other words, shaking the rod while you continuously reel, or just keep jerking that rod side to side, keeping it going. The object is to get the front, by creating slack, to snap to the left, create some slack, snap it to the right, snap it to the left. It's a hard lure to work, but once you get it down pat, it's awesome. It is just funny. I said it's a hard lure to work. And Austin's looking at me like, what do you mean? That's easy to work. You know, it's what happens with guys. And I think that's the one thing why I remain good at my job. I remember how difficult it was to learn that stuff. It was really hard to figure out how to walk the dog in a lure and how to do this and how to do that.
If you can't pat your head and rub your belly, it's not for you.
Yeah.
I get customers that come in the shop all the time. They say, how do you work a topwater? Well, put all your stuff down, pat your head, and rub your belly. They think I'm kidding. Like, if you can't do it, I'm not going to let you buy it.
Yeah, you've got to be able to do it. I've taken countless people into the bait room and showing them the action of a Zeraspook in the tank. And I know you've done that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And what we're trying to do is, at least once you see it work, now you can understand what you have to accomplish.
Yeah, because just popping it and letting it do somersaults on the surface doesn't work very good.
No. So, but this subwalk was an amazing hit, and they were hard to get. We've still got them. I bought a whole bunch of them, and we've got the new one with the single hook. And it's one I want to work on this year. Number one, all-time greatest tarpon lure, real. Now, this is 60-pound plus tarpon, the ones in the middle of the harbor, DOA bait buster. Has there ever been anything better than that, Austin?
I love bait busters. I went through a time with them last year where I couldn't get my hands on enough of them. I was buying 10 at a time. I mean, they lasted between one and three fish, but we were having 15 hookups a morning on them. We were just wrecking them.
Just amazing just how many fish you can catch. I usually, if I'm going after tarpon, I give a big lift to the rod, drop my tip. Big lift to the rod, drop my tip. That's how I've got them hooked up.
Like the 10-2 thing that I do with the smaller ones?
Exactly. I'm sitting there, and I got a kind of a slow, moderate retrieve going, and then I bring my tip up quickly to 12 o'clock, and then let it fall at a fair... All right.
Follow your line back.
Yeah, 9:30. The rod's at 12 o'clock, 11, 10, 9:30 is kind of how I time it up. Up quick to 12, 11, 10, 9:30. I don't know how is that kind of what you're doing?
Pretty close, yeah.
So, because I want it to dart up real quick and then ease its way back down.
Uh-huh.
Now, that's me. Yeah. Is that you?
With the bait busters, personally, I had my best luck just reeling them.
So you just slow crank them?
Slow, maybe moderate if the fish seem like they're a little higher.
You got to keep the little tail things wiggling.
Yeah, you know, I get them without the tail even moving. Just pretty much a stick going through the water is what it looks like.
Man. All right. Savage Gear, have you used the trout yet?
I haven't personally used it. I have not thrown it yet.
I love throwing it. I haven't caught anything with it. Carl wrecks the fish with it. Steve's caught snook with it. Everybody's caught everything with it. I guess we're wrapping up. How much time we got left? We got 2 minutes left. All right, the other one I want to try this year, the Savage Trout. I'm going back for that. The Lure Jensen Pet Spoon. And I want to try the bluegill from Savage Gear. I think this is going to be an awesome bait. Looks a lot like, you know, I've got the lighter one, tilapia, silver jennies, you know, the bigger, broader fish like that.
Sandbrim, looks like a sandbrim.
Sandbrim, yeah. So the live target, those gizzard shads and white baits and all that.
The mullet will work good.
So there's so many lures out there to go through. I mean, I literally brought a bunch of stuff that we haven't used yet. I'm thinking about this crab. What's your idea?
I have used that. I don't like it.
You've used it and don't like it. So the Savage that one's out of here.
That one for me is out of there. I know people that have caught fish on them, but I won't throw them again.
What happened with you and the Savage?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Here I'm expecting, I hate that lure. It does this, and it flips when it should flap. And yeah, just nothing happened that's out of my thing.
Okay, it doesn't do anything that I want it to do.
You're done. It doesn't catch his fish. All right. That's the best answer ever. All right. Yes. Would this work on the canal tarpon?
Yes. I've caught him on those. Mirror lure Little John.
All right. I'm holding it up to him asking because it's a do-nothing lure.
It is.
I mean, there's no reason a mirror lure Little John ever caught a fish, but you think it'll work on the tarpon?
I've caught him on them before.
All right. And Fishing Frank here. And this is Captain Austin Phelps, my literal tarpon expert, and I've never met anybody quite like Captain Austin.
Thank you for having me out here today.
You're welcome. RJ, any last word?
I'm done.
He's done. We're done. This is Fishing Frank, and see ya.